Good morning, Maine. It is Time Smart Talk with Steve-O. News Talk WLOB, 1310 AM, WLOBradio.com, and also TimeSmartRadio.com, where all of the shows can be found. Good morning, Deb. Good morning, Shani McShani.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing this fine day, Saturday, January 24th?
We're awesome.
Very good. How are you?
I am never been happier. I am just ecstatic. We've got a lot going on. We have two very interesting and informative guests coming up in this hour. In about 15 minutes, we have an interview that I had done a few days ago with Elise Johansson. She is the executive director of Equality Maine, talking about Equality Maine, both referendums that have been passed and also kind of policy issues that are very much current. And then in the second hour, just a few minutes ago, I interviewed Donna Broussard, and Donna is the publisher of Maine Biz, which is the one and only business journal that covers business news and business policy here in Maine. So those two interviews are coming up. But first, let's cover a little bit of On This Day, mm-hmm. which is our habit on Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O. Shani McShani does some of the research, and it's kind of hit or miss because, you know, we've got 365 days in every calendar year, and it always amazes me because there's a randomness to kind of On This Day where there are some days where there are like these 20 great events which are historically significant and involve iconic figures, and then there are some days that are just kind of weak on this days. And I don't know if it's based on the stars or the zodiac or just the random nature of life.
Could have been the weather.
Like 9 months earlier? Is that what you're, is that what you're suggesting?
Maybe there was too much weather going on for anybody to get out of the house.
See, I was thinking about birthdays, like who's born on a certain day.
Oh,
Yeah. Hey, by the way, before I forget, I wanted to ask you both something, get your view on something. My wife, Katie, who you both know, mm-hmm. is, God, I got to get this right. She's a Libra, I guess. Is Libra the one with the scale? The two things?
Yes.
How would I describe Katie in this particular era? And since it will be digitally recorded for the rest of my life.
She's awesome.
Yes. Hey, of course.
That's a given.
She's awesome. But she's just very level-headed, But mm-hmm. there's one area of disagreement that we have in that she really believes in the zodiac.
Oh, does
relative
she?
To, like, in the broad sense. Like, she believes Libras are a certain kind of way. I was born in July, and I'm a Leo, and she believes Leo the Lion. So she believes in the zodiac. She believes that, oh yeah, you're a Leo. That's what a Leo would do. And she would mm-hmm. believe when she sees any kind of injustice that as a Libra, she is motivated to jump in and try to battle the injustice.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the question is, how do you guys feel about the zodiac? Do you think there's anything in the world valid, or do you think people match their realities to the mythology of the different zodiac signs, and they kind of see what they want to see? What do you think?
The zodiac was designed when the world believed that the universe went around the earth. And so they pointed out parts in the stars, and they came up with all of it there. Now, since that's not how it is, I don't know how much value.
You were in
value.
Second grade at that point, weren't you?
Probably second, third, something like that.
I'm joking. You're not that old. But yeah, that's interesting. What's your zodiac sign, by the way?
I'm Capricorn.
What does a Capricorn mean? I don't even know.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. We're balanced, I guess, to some degree. We're earthy. We like truth and justice and, you know.
I don't know. Check.
But I don't know. I think all people can be many different things at many different times, depending on the situation. What do you think?
Shani, what sign are you, and what do you think?
I'm an Aries.
What's that mean?
Kind of pig-headed sometimes.
Pig-headed?
No way.
A little bratty.
I don't know if I even heard the term pig-headed. Is there some sort of...
Of course there is.
Really?
Pig-headed?
You never heard of pig-headed?
I'm trying to
Stubborn.
I'm the ram as my animal, so I think there are definitely traits that.
But what causes it? Because a person's birth date determines what zodiac sign they're in, and obviously their birth date is, you know, directly correlates to when, you know, mom and dad.
Got together.
Right.
And so how in the world does that event impact that event? And then when kids are born on one side of a zodiac sign or another, because maybe mom had a pepperoni pizza and she went into labor early, how in the world does that impact behavior years later?
I honestly don't know. I don't believe it does. It could be the power of suggestion.
Right.
I don't know.
Shani, you believe or not?
I believe to a certain degree, yes. Yeah.
I think there's a bigger issue there, and that is as we hurl through space on this rock, I think it's important for people to have things to either believe in or to connect with that are bigger than ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not it's true or not, you know, I think religion falls in that category, and I think for many people, religion is a great thing, and it's a positive thing. And whether or not it's the intrinsic message of the various religions or the idea of having a belief system is comforting.
Mm-hmm.
And some, if the zodiac gives you a little comfort, if you know, believing in NASCAR makes you feel a little bit better about the. By the way, you hear Jeff Gordon's retiring.
No way.
Yeah, number 24. This isn't a sports show, but I love NASCAR.
Wow.
And I remember when Jeff Gordon first started racing, and this is his last season starting next month.
How long has he been racing?
Well, 20 years.
Is it that long?
Oh, yeah. He was considered the boy wonder. And
he still looks like a boy.
I know. He has one of those faces where he's just kind of a young kid.
Just cute.
But you know what? I understand. He's married. He's got kids. He's made a ton of money. Why do you want to run around at 200 miles an hour and put your life at risk when you can just kind of, you know, so hey, congratulations for him retiring. But let's get to on this day. Shani McShani, you put 1848, gold was found at Sutter's Creek. I thought Sutter's Creek was a wine.
Maybe it may be.
It still may be. Wow. John Sutter, Northern California. Maybe the Sutter thing is tied. And is that when you're suggesting gold was first found, or is this just some sort of random trivia thing?
It began the gold rush, is what I saw.
1848.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 1935, the first canned beer went on sale.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
How exciting is that?
Mm-hmm.
wow. So 1935, 200. I guess that's when the canning technology kind of caught up with bottling.
Maybe.
So I think beer was in bottles for a long time.
Maybe it was just in a glass before that. I don't know.
Yeah, let's skip down to birthdays. Oh, one of my favorite artists of all time.
Oh.
Mr. Neil Diamond.
You mean this one?
Where it began.
Oh, let's just roll this along for about 10 seconds.
I can't begin to know it.
Oh, sweet, sweet Neil Diamond.
Well, then I know it's growing strong.
Okay, here, we're coming up on Sweet Caroline.
Wasn't the spring?
Oh, yeah, it's building.
Spring became the summer. Would have believed you'd come along.
Okay, here it comes.
And
now it's starting to build.
Touching hands.
Reaching out.
There you go.
Touching you.
Touching me, sweet Caroline, huh? Wow. Wow.
So good.
Okay, that's Neil Diamond, born in 1941. He turned 74. You guys know what Sweet Caroline is about? You know what it's named for?
Again? Yes, Sweet Caroline? No, I don't.
Yeah, Caroline Kennedy.
Oh,
he only revealed that a few years ago. He had like a lunch with Caroline Kennedy and said, hey, I've never really acknowledged this, but Sweet Caroline was the references to her. I don't think there's anything in the song connects. The reference is the name, Caroline.
Okay.
Caroline Kennedy.
All right.
John Belushi, he was a great actor.
Funny.
This would have been his birthday, born in 1949, passed away in 1982. Yeah, it's just 33.
Yeah.
Famous from Animal House. Mary Lou Retton, a gymnast, 84 Olympics. She's only 47. Mm-hmm. Feels like she's been in the public eye for a long time.
I know.
So she must have been, that was 31 years ago. She was 16. So that's
She still looks the same.
Yeah. Let's talk about a couple things before we get into the interview.
Okay.
With Elise Johansson coming up in just a few minutes. You're listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O and News Talk WLOB 1310 AM. Have you guys been following the Super Bowl story with the Patriots and Tom Brady and what people refer to as deflate ball or deflate gate?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, you can't really miss it.
Yeah, it's like everywhere. Yeah. Every news story, every broadcast, every network thing, it is such a big story. I don't know what it says about us. I don't know what it says about the story. But I don't think 40 years ago Walter Cronkite would open up the news with, and tonight, you know, there's a chance that some footballs were underinflated.
Yeah, no.
Do you guys have a point of view? Good, bad?
I think it's just a bunch of, it's crazy. It's out of hand, and who cares? Yeah. I mean, I don't care.
Right.
Do you care?
I don't care about a little less pressure. I think the big issue, though, is breaking the rules. Because if you start randomly and arbitrarily looking at different rules and just ignoring them because you don't personally care, I think when you're playing a sport, there has to be integrity to the sport. The winning, the losing has to, it has to represent some sort of credibility.
Kind of like politics.
Oh, God.
Can't really pick the laws that you want to follow.
See, Paul, this was a no politics zone, Deb. Why do you keep dragging
sorry.
Both?
Sorry.
God, you just keep picking at the scab. Just pick, pick, pick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let it heal.
Okay.
Let it heal.
We're letting it heal.
I'm kidding. We all love politics. But here's my feeling about the Deflategate. Number one, the Patriots have been so successful that I think there's also a little bit of a natural sense from other people around the country that they're so successful. So, you know, let's either jump to a conclusion or exaggerate. Mm-hmm. If it is found out through the NFL investigation, which hasn't been announced as we've taped the show, that somebody deliberately cheated, I think they should be fined and they should be punished. I think there should be some repercussion. But unless there's clear evidence, then Tom Brady, by all accounts, and I've met him, and I was actually at a game a few weeks ago, and I sat right behind his dad
and his brother.
Yeah,
nice.
Really nice people. But unless there's some evidence, then, you know, and Bill Belichick is, in my mind, from being around sports for 30 years, is one of the most incredible coaches. Because what he's done over the last 20 years of his career, year in and year out, you know, he's not flashy. He doesn't get caught up in the hype. He puts on his little hoodie sweatshirt, and he focuses on discipline and structure. And year after year, his teams are competitive. Year after year, every other team wants to hire his assistant coaches. Year after year, somebody gets injured, and he still puts on a good team. And he's just really good. And everyone, you know, kind of likes to take somebody down a few pegs.
True. Or give someone else a turn.
But I have respect for the Patriots organization. If somebody there did something that broke the rules, they should be punished. We'll see how that rolls out. But in the absence of any real evidence they did something wrong, Tom Brady's been great for the sport. He seems like a great guy. Bill Belichick has been great for football. Mm-hmm. And I wish they'd start talking about football.
There you go.
Well, we're running out of time, so we're going to go right into our interview, Deb.
Okay.
And as I mentioned before, what you'll be hearing right now is an interview I did a few days ago with Elise Johansson, who is the Executive Director of Equality Maine. And then we'll take a news break at the top of the hour. And then at 12:06, we will have Donna Broussard, who is the publisher of Maine Biz, Maine's business journal, for the second hour. Thank you so much for listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O, News Talk WLOB 1310. Here's my interview with Elise Johansson.
One love, one heart.
Welcome back. You're listening to Time Smart Talk with Steve on News Talk WLOB, 1310 AM. Who was that again singing there? That's got to be Bob Marley, right?
That's exactly who that was.
One Love. Way to go, Shani. Again, your thematic intro music is never fails. And that's the introduction for our guest, Elise Johansson. Elise, great to have you here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Elise is the executive director of Equality Maine. And fairly recent, this is, you're going into your second year now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I want to hear all about what's going on with Equality Maine, but why don't we start with a little bit of your background in terms of where you grew up, where you went to school, and then we'll talk a little bit about how you started getting involved with Equality Maine, and then we'll talk about the organization, what's going on in the next year.
Great.
So the early years.
Oh my gosh, is how long is the show? So, born in Chicago. Moved to New Jersey as an infant, grew up there.
What part of New Jersey?
Passaic County, Northern Jersey. The reason why we're the Garden State.
I'm in marketing, and the whole Garden State of New Jersey. I know there's gardens in New Jersey, but an awful lot of asphalt.
Yes.
I lived in Caldwell, New Jersey for a while. You know where that is?
Mm-mm.
It's near Parsippany and somewhere near, you know, maybe near there. Bloomfield,
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, where we lived, there were tons of gardens, a lot of farms, a lot of horses.
Oh, so there were gardens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's not all Newark.
Perfect. And so did you go to school in New Jersey? And then you went on to Fairleigh Dickerson, right?
Well, I went to middle school and high school in Florida, in Wellington, Florida. Polo fields everywhere. And then moved to, stayed in Florida and went to grad school in New Jersey.
Back to the polo fields in Florida. I was not familiar. The last time I saw polo, I think, was in the movie Pretty Woman.
Yes.
When she was out walking around.
Mm-hmm.
So, seriously, there were polo fields?
Wellington is pretty much the equestrian place of, I mean, I guess upstate New York has a lot of equestrian.
Yeah, yeah.
And then South Florida, like Tommy Lee Jones and I think Calvin Klein, and they all are all into polo.
Wow.
The town becomes packed during winter.
Did you ever go out to a polo match?
No.
And then walk the divots or whatever it is?
No.
You do? And yeah.
I would spend time in the barn with the horses.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go to the matches.
That seems like more fun. The yes. other part seems snooty.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I'd rather be with the horses.
The horses. Always choose the horses.
Uh-huh.
By the way, we have Elise Johansson here. She's executive director of Equality Maine. So talk a little bit about where you ended up going to school and what you studied in school and why.
Yeah, so I kind of had a long college tenure, changed my major a few times, left college, went and got cosmetology license, went back to college, and have my undergrad in English with a concentration in studies in writing and rhetoric, and my master's in fine arts is in fiction, creative writing.
I want to back up just a little bit. I have often been accused of having a master's in rhetoric. And I don't know if I've ever met anyone with a formal degree.
Yeah.
So for our listeners, please explain what a degree with a concentration of writing and rhetoric is about. Because if it's possible for me to get one of these online right after the show, I may see if I can get a degree in rhetoric. Because rhetoric literally sounds like rhetoric, but maybe it's a different academic thing.
Yeah, so you could only get it in as a concentration in undergrad. And so most of my classes when getting my degree in English were literature. But I took a lot of classes on writing, persuasive writing, communications. And so I was able to get a concentration in studies of writing and rhetoric.
Absolutely.
You could do it.
I can do it. Shani, make a note.
I'll follow up with you.
If I can somehow capitalize with some sort of credential about rhetoric, then I'm on that. Okay, so after graduating from Florida Atlantic University, what was the next step?
That's when I went to Fairleigh Dickerson and joined their creative writing Master's Fine Arts program, which is the college that my dad went to. It was his alma mater, so it was really important to me to apply there, and I got in, which was really exciting.
Right.
And, yeah.
And then from there, it looks like you worked with Goodwill Industries.
Yeah, so I was Goodwill for a very long time.
Talk a little bit, if you wouldn't mind, about people are familiar with Goodwill in terms of having kind of this omnipresence, but as an organization and as a nonprofit, kind of the mission and the kind of work that Goodwill does, other than I think what many people assign to it is kind of a clothing exchange,
yep.
but they do so much more.
Yep.
And if you wouldn't mind just giving a quick overview of Goodwill, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the whole entire reason that Goodwill has the thrift stores is to fund the programs. So there would be no need for the thrift stores if they weren't doing the work. And so at least at the Goodwill that I was in, it was over five counties in South Florida. And we worked with adults with developmental disabilities and had day training programs. I worked for a long period of time when I was there. I ran the youth department, so we worked with youth at risk, kids with learning disabilities, mental health diagnoses. I was particularly interested in juvenile justice, but they have offender reentry programs for adults, charter schools, all sorts of things. But the funding is subsidized, obviously by grants and donors, but mostly by the thrift store sales.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really fantastic.
Yeah, and I would guess that the vast majority of people look at Goodwill as being specifically tied into thrift stores as opposed
yes.
to being that's the funding mechanism
yes.
for the good work that you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. And then as your career progressed after Goodwill?
Yep.
You worked in Florida in Planned Parenthood,
yes.
Director of Teen Outreach,
yeah.
Providing information and outreach to teens mm-hmm. in terms of information and
yep.
personal choices.
Yeah, yeah, and just how to keep themselves healthy and to, you know, if they're going to have sex, to do it in a way that they're protecting themselves and others. We talked a lot about consent. We worked with parents to give them tips and tools on how to talk to their teens. So, yeah, it was really great.
Yeah, that's still an issue in terms of communication between parents and teens. You know,
oh,
my
yeah.
wife and I have three kids. And I think schools are doing a better job, whether it's under health sciences or in health curriculum.
Yeah.
But
maybe up here, not so much in
not
Florida.
Not so much in Florida?
No, we were working really hard on that.
In terms of getting information
out.
It
was only abstinence only. We were, for a long time, we were only allowed to talk about abstinence.
Yeah, that's a short discussion, yeah. isn't it?
Now we talk about abstinence plus.
Well, it's been a while since I've been a teen, but if the choice was abstinence or abstinence plus, I would at least want to hear the information
yep.
on abstinence plus.
Yeah, so you can make a healthy, informed decision.
That's great.
Yeah.
Talk about a little bit, you know, from Florida, how you came about coming up to Maine. Had you been to Maine before? Were you recruited? And how you ended up being the current executive director of Equality Maine.
Yeah, so I came to Maine once, probably almost 10 years ago now, maybe 8 years ago, on vacation, and fell in love with it. But Maine is one of those places for people who haven't lived here. When you see it or you hear about it, it's intoxicating. And came here on vacation and, like I said, fell in love. Cut to a couple years later, met my now wife. I met her on the internet. And
really? You said that in, I don't know if we had if Shani hit the control, but your voice had an inflection. It was definitely a dip in the volume where I met my wife in the internet.
It's a little embarrassing.
It is not. Well, for our millions of listeners, I think they're tuned to the radio.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, meeting that, you know, again, it's been a long, long time since I've been in the dating realm. And aside from my wife listening to every show, there's no way I'm ever going to be back in the dating realm. But from my understanding, we live in a technology time.
Yes.
And it's about information and efficiently mm-hmm. conveying information on people and
yeah.
who lives where and who's looking for what.
Yep.
So no need for hushed tones. You met your wife on the internet, at least, Johansson.
I'm going to shout it from the top of TideSmart.
I know. We just did. We've got 50,000 watts streaming across southern Maine right now. So, and where were you living in Florida? When
yeah.
you
and she was living in North Carolina. And because though, like we met on the internet, which was great.
Right.
It was good because we were both homebodies. So it was a really great way for us
yeah.
to get to know each other. She lived in North Carolina. She moved to Florida to be with me, which I will always thank her for. She's not a fan of Florida. And neither am I. And then, we had like a 5-year plan. We'll stay in Florida and then we want to move. And one day when we were waiting to move to Maine, that's where I wanted to move. She had never been. And when we knew marriage was on the ballot in 2012, the plan was as soon as if marriage passes, that's going to be our sign. We're going to know Maine's where to go. Wow. We're going to go. And I remember I was standing on the couch, like waiting because I wanted to, you know, and it passed and I was so excited. And so we literally the next morning woke up and bought tickets to come that April. So that was in November. We bought tickets to come up here and get legally married because we got married in Florida, which was the ceremony, but wasn't considered legal there.
Right.
And then we came up here. We got legally married at the Belfast clerk's office by the harbor master was our witness. Another woman was our witness. And then the clerk was our officiant. And then in the middle of the ceremony, we did it outside. We look over and the city manager is over there clapping. It was just really great.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, it was really fun. And then I remember one night we were laying in our bed and breakfast at the Maple Hill Farm Inn.
Wow.
Love that place.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah, it's in Hollowell. And we said, my wife's like, okay, so when are we going to move here? How are we going to do this? I'm like, all right, so maybe we won't do a five-year plan. Maybe we'll do a three-year plan. And then we got home and it turned into a, let's call the realtor tomorrow and see if we can get what we want for the house. And the realtor's like, girls, she called us girls. Girls, you're not going to get what you want. And we're like, well, let's just, okay, fine. And then we listed it. The house sold pretty much right away.
Wow.
And then we realized we had to, you know, move and resign from our jobs and sell our cars that wouldn't work well in the snow and find a place.
A complete life change.
Everything. And it all worked out.
Okay. I want to hear more. By the way, we have Elise Johansson here. She is the Executive Director of Equality Maine. You're listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O on News Talk WLOB 1310 AM. One thing about the story I wanted to highlight is that the issue of Maine being the first state in terms of to pass marriage, mm-hmm. I thought was great for our state. I mean, there are controversial things with Maine and our politics and some of our government leaders, which without going down that path, where people around the country look at Maine and go, what are you guys doing? But on this issue, I think it was great for the state. But one of the things that was part of, not the argument, but was part of the narrative was, it's good for people. It's a human right. We should look at it as the right thing to do. But it's also good for communities, and it's also good for business.
Yep.
And you just mentioned something in a real case scenario
yep.
where you and your wife were in another state, paying taxes in another state,
yep.
eating restaurants, you know, going shopping in another state, and specifically because of that issue. Aside, this is before you became Executive Director of Equality Maine. You moved to Maine for that reason.
Yep.
And we have such an outflow of young people leaving Maine for business reasons and opportunity reasons that passage, and the fun thing that happened when that passed in 2012, the sky didn't fall.
Right.
It didn't. And it's still up there.
It actually
got
brighter.
It got brighter with more rainbows.
I was just thinking
we've got bright. Yeah, I was right there with you. As soon as you went brighter, I was going with rainbows.
I'm glad you did.
And nobody got hurt. Nobody's other people's rights weren't compromised.
Yep.
Nobody's in here, you know, in my notes, it shows that you live in a 5-acre mini farm. Mm-hmm. You have five dogs, one cat, and you're about to get a whole bunch of farm animals.
Mm-hmm.
And you're part of the community, and it's good, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we're happy and we're treated with honor and respect everywhere we go, which is really important. Well, I want to rephrase that. Not everywhere we go. We still encounter a little bit of raised eyebrows or, you know, it seems that in some places, sometimes we're not treated with the same respect we would in other places. And I think that's because there's still a little bit of work to do, or in some cases, a lot of work left to do. But for the most part, we're really, really feel accepted, and especially in the town that we live in.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Fascinating. We're with Elise Johansson, Executive Director of Equality Maine. So you get up here to Maine with your wife.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you're looking around going, I need a job. What am I going to do up here? Talk a little bit about Equality Maine and how you found that organization.
Yeah.
They found you. And then if you wouldn't mind, go into a little bit for people listening. What is the mission of Equality Maine? with the passage of the law 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. A lot of people may think that it was specific in terms of getting a quality set, but there's a lot of good work and important information that's needed. And talk a little bit about how you ended up there and the work that you all do.
Great. Yeah. So actually, before we even moved, I had joined a executive leadership search firm for New England. And because I was looking for an executive director position, and I had actually done a very high level search for gay Maine in Google, and up came Equality Maine. And I remember looking at the website thinking, oh, that would be my dream job, to be the executive director of Equality Maine. And I didn't even know that Betsy was leaving, didn't know they were hiring. It was pretty wild. And so I would, you know, every couple weeks or months go on the website. And then one day, I remember I went to the website, but I also got an email from the executive leadership search that Equality Maine was hiring for an executive director. And I was shocked and couldn't. And I was like, okay, well, I will apply for this because this is really meant to be. And I applied and went through the whole process, the whole search process. It was kind of extensive and really well done by the board and the consultant that they used, and got the job, which was pretty incredible.
That was in January of 2014, so just about 1 year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And as an organization, talk a little bit about how it's structured as a how many people work there? Is it a nonprofit? Mm-hmm. Where does the funding come from? And then what are the day in, day out kind of missions? And and then we'll talk a little bit about in the foreground what kind of legislation and policy mm-hmm. you're probably looking at in terms of what you're all doing.
Yeah. So currently we have four full-time staff members, and we have a lobbyist on our team as well for the C4 work that we do legislatively in the political realm. We are statewide. Our main office is in Portland, but we're pretty much all over the place. We have a staff member who's going to be up in Bangor on Friday. We're going to be in Lewiston, Auburn tomorrow. We had someone in Waterville last night. So definitely statewide. So the way our funding is coming in now post-marriage is through grants, through our donors, through our events that we do throughout the year. And we just tried, it's important as a nonprofit, which we are, to stay really diversified in those areas. So we're not heavily relying on, you know, our community or our grant funders or just the events to fund this really important work.
And talk a little bit about it's when marriage equality passed, as I said before, a lot of people just assumed, okay, that was game over. Yeah. Equality Maine, you win.
Yep.
Okay. But there are so many day-to-day
now
issues.
What? Yeah.
And they may not be as iconic as marriage equality, because that was a huge shift in the landscape.
Yep.
But talk a little bit about, you know, in no particular order, some of the issues, whether they're legislative issues or whether they're public awareness issues at Equality Maine that is really important to get the message out.
Yeah. Go into it, and there's four kind of sections or areas. One thing that we're advocating for right now is transgender health care coverage. And so people who in Maine are transgender Mainers are not receiving comprehensive health care coverage. They're being denied this through insurance carriers and, businesses across the state. And we know that this is basically circumventing. Insurance carriers are currently circumventing our non-discrimination laws right now in Maine in order to do this. And, we fought long and hard for those laws to protect all people. And so we're doing that. We have collected over 3,000 postcards since primary day. We are kind of re-strategizing now on what we're going to be doing moving forward with the current administration that we have.
Why is the classification of transgender outside of the protection, and how is that defined in the law, and what's the issue? Because it seems like human rights.
Yeah.
You know, the only issue I had with marriage equality, or when people have tried to distill it down to its gay rights, is I believe in human rights.
Right.
You know, whether it's has to do with orientation, gender, religion, height, weight, whatever. And obviously there was, tremendous discrimination against LGBT community.
Yep.
But it seems like we just need to get to the point where if you're a human being, you get the full menu of human rights.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what letter is assigned to you.
Yep.
How did transgender get kind of outside of the protection of the law?
Well, and they're not. And so they are under the protection of the law. However, and we don't really understand how it's happening or what's happening. Or we know what's happening, but we don't really understand how it's happening. But insurance carriers are literally saying, here's an example.
Okay.
There was someone in our state this past year who was having a kidney issue and went to the doctor, and the doctor recommended diagnostic testing to figure out what was going on with this person's kidney. And the doctor recommended an ultrasound. The insurance carrier said, we're not doing the ultrasound because we think that your kidney issue could be related to your hormone therapy treatment that you're on. And this was prior to even figuring out what's happening with this person's kidney.
Even if there was a correlation to hormone therapy that caused a later disease reaction or what difference does it make? Because people have medicine and they have treatment for lots of things that may or may not be linked to something. Why would the insurance company say that's a disqualifier?
We don't know. And the problem is there's language in the policies that is, the regs basically.
Right.
That is saying that there will be no treatment. And I don't know exactly what the terminology is in every single, reg or policy. But that transsexual, transgender treatment and coverage, I think is the language. And so what they're doing is they're saying that this area, this section is, we are not insuring this. And so there are people who are not able to get a mammogram or not able to get an ultrasound or not able to get the hormone replacement therapy that their doctor has ordered for them to get.
Since we're on the subject, LGBT is kind of the common nomenclature.
Yep.
I've heard at different times other letters.
Yep.
And talk a little bit about it, and it may seem like a quirky question, but at its core, there's lots of groups that may feel excluded.
Yep.
If they don't fall under the classification of lesbian, gay, bi, transgender, then there's lots of people and lots of personal orientation, personal interest.
Yep.
Does that talk? How many letters do you think covers, because it's more about respect for people than it is about individual recognition.
Yep.
But it feels like periodically there's controversy about one group not feeling like they're being represented or one. Yep. And that at the core is what I think feels bad for people of any group, whether it's race or whether it's religion, not being recognized and respected.
Yep.
And the LGBT designation was kind of shorthand for an overall group of people that were disenfranchised.
Yep.
Is that something that is evolving, is changing, and how do you make movement? Because if people are arguing about what to call a group or who's in or who's out, then it kind of undermines the power of the argument and the message.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we use LGBT because that's what we've used since 1984. That is, I would say, the majority of the people that are part of our community and are members of our Equality Maine. I'd say the majority of them are comfortable and utilize those letters. However, there are tons of people who use perhaps maybe the Q, which could mean queer or questioning. Some folks are not comfortable with that, the word queer, which is understandable for people to be comfortable or not comfortable with that. There's other letters. We have considered adding additional letters to our community. It hasn't been something we've, solidified an answer on because it is changing at times that some folks do want to identify a certain way.
Interesting. We have
go ahead.
Or I'm sorry, what were you saying?
No, I was going to say, or a certain term, not that they're identifying a certain way, but more by identifying with a certain word.
I support the work of Equality Maine and the Human Rights Group, and I do think we just need to get to the point where every single person, every American, and then we extend beyond to the whole world, each person, each living creature deserves respect and to be honored, whether in their and where they're from or their color of their skin. And but
I agree with you.
We have Elise Johansson here. She's Executive Director of Equality Maine. You're listening to Time Smart Talk with Steve-O on News Talk WLOB, 1310 AM. Talk a little bit about on your website, which is equalitymaine.org, lots of information there. Staff list preferred pronouns.
Yes.
For yours, it's she, her, hers. Talk a little bit about how pronouns and identity is something that is real issues and need to be respected by employers,
yep.
by family members, by neighbors and in society.
Yeah. It's a great question. That's something that we do at a lot of our meetings. We always start our meeting by introductions, and then we give people the opportunity to share their preferred gender pronouns. And that just takes away the assumption of folks of saying, oh, well, that person is wearing a pink shirt, and my identity signal is going off in my brain that that person has long hair and a pink shirt, so they must identify as she and as female or a girl. And that's not always the case. And to be able to, you know, have a safe space where you can have meetings with, you know, your partners and your coalition members and committees, and just kind of take away that space of assumption,
right.
And allowing people to just say, you know what, I actually identify as he. I prefer that pronoun when you're talking about me or with me.
Great. Let's talk a little bit about schools.
Yeah.
I believe that for many young boys and girls, especially school age, and whether it's 10 to 18, whether it's middle school to high school, it's one of the most vulnerable times in general, just being a teenager, mm-hmm. just going through maturing and going from a child to an adolescent to a young adult.
Yeah.
Take away sexuality, orientation, anything else, it's really hard. And then you add the added pressure for people who are part of the LGBT community, mm-hmm. dealing with identity, dealing with issues at school, dealing with bullying. Talk a little bit about what Equality Maine has done to communicate and to do outreach to schools. Because the bullying thing is awful across the board, but it's particularly painful when it is such a personal issue of personal identity.
Yeah.
And it's something that, you know, I think we all need to bring more awareness to, and I think school administrators need to be aware.
Yep.
I think there's all kinds of general standards and protocols and approaches, but there's obviously nuance. We talked about transgender. There are many times kids are going through their own identity, and whether it's using a boys' room or a girls' room, or
mm-hmm.
and there's been a lot of legal cases, but at the end, we need to respect and need to be sensitive to mm-hmm. some really sensitive issues.
Yeah.
And how is Maine doing, and how are schools doing in general, and what type of things can people be more aware or sensitive to?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's probably this. My answer is going to probably lead into a little bit of the legislative battle that we're up against this coming session as well. And so, you know, the year before, Maine passed the anti-bullying law for schools, which is great. Where the schools have to train their school professionals, their educators, their staff on anti-bullying.
So that was passed. And
correct.
So every public school in Maine
is supposed to.
It is part of teacher training or the beginning of
development. Yep.
So if you're a teacher in a Maine public school, you're supposed to, you know, check that you know how to do the training and all
that? Yeah, and the school is also supposed to have a policy. Every single school in Maine is supposed to have a policy that includes sexual orientation and gender identity and expression within that policy. And so we've offered to help schools. We've been reviewing school policies for almost the past year and 3 months to not to, you know, follow up and make sure everybody's following the law, but to offer schools the support in developing those policies, implementing those policies, and making their schools safer for their kids so they can be in school to learn, because we don't ever want a child to choose between getting an education and feeling safe. You should always feel safe at your school. And so this is an example of just because we have a law doesn't make it so. Right. So just this past year, we had a young student we were working with whose school had under the law had to have the policy, and she went to school one day and something really horrible was written about her on the bathroom door. She went to school admin and told them what was written on the door in Sharpie marker, and it stayed there for another 14 days. And she had to go to school for 2 weeks seeing that on her bathroom. This is here in Maine in the past year. So, again, we have the laws, and I think it's really important that we have folks around the state supporting this work and our young people.
How does something like that happen in Maine in the year 2000? I'm guessing it happened in 2014.
Yeah.
How does that happen? And how can any school administrator, within 5 minutes of hearing something like that, not both out of human compassion, aside from compliance to what is probably clear law, say, yeah, that is egregious, that is painful, and aside from finding out or trying to find out who wrote it, which may not be possible, say, yeah, not only should that girl not have to face that for 14 days, but other students shouldn't be confronted with what, and if it was some sort of hate message.
Right. I mean, I don't know why it happens. I can assume, I always like to think that people have noble intent, that they mean well. But I don't know how to wrap my mind around those types of stories. When I hear of, you know, I heard of someone recently who went to the supermarket and was obviously of age buying alcohol, and the cashier carded this woman because she was playing this little bit of power game of, I want to see your gender and I want to see your driver's license.
Wow.
And those things happen. I mean, that these things happen. And so there's still work to do in changing, you know, personal bias. And, you know, last year we narrowly defeated a so-called religious freedom bill. And we just found out, I'm actually glad we're doing the interview this week, because I found out 2 days ago that bill has been put forward again this year.
Here in Maine.
Yes. And it's titled An Act to Protect Religious Freedom. But in fact, that is not what that act would be doing. Because, of course, I hear that title and I'm like, that's great. Religious freedom is fantastic.
Yeah. People should have religious freedom, sure.
Exactly. But that isn't what these bills do. What they do is they undermine non-discrimination laws around our country.
Wasn't there a case where there was an innkeeper that tried to turn away a gay couple, and they, under their religious freedom, or they, you know, I'm sure there's different cases.
I've heard of cases like that.
But what's the bill? What's the genesis in this bill that you feel as though is discriminatory relative to?
So what it would allow people to do is to discriminate against someone, undermine our current protections. So here's an example, and then they could blame it or say that it's based on their religious beliefs and practices.
Right.
Here's an example. Someone could own a apartment complex, and currently, you know, housing is protected. And they could say, well, you're an unwed mother, or you are two women who have children and you're married. That's against my religion, and I'm not going to rent to you. I'm not going to serve you. I'm not going to provide a service to you or sales to you for any type of reason.
So that bill, is it active in the state legislature?
Oh yeah,
it just got
proposed 2 days ago for this coming session. And like I said, last year we had it, and it was kind of a heavy lift. There were people who voted in favor for it that we were actually surprised did.
I support religious freedom, but
absolutely,
when you use the argument as being exclusionary to somebody else's freedom, that's where it's.
It's kind of like the Hobby Lobby bill this year that people, you know, they could say, well, my religion doesn't permit birth control, so I'm not going to provide it to my staff, which you're not able to do that as a corporation.
So, interesting. Yeah. In the next couple of minutes, and again, this has been great having you here.
Thank you.
Elise Johansson here, Executive Director of Equality Maine. We also have Mike Michou on, and I'm sure that you in your 1 year of being here have crossed paths with Mike, and unfortunately he was not successful running for governor, but he served the state for over 30 years in elected office in state legislature and also in Congress. I was proud of Mike in terms of how he made his announcement, and I think running for governor, he felt like he wanted to take away any kind of whisper campaign, and so he disclosed that he was a gay man and he was proud. I don't know, and I think other, you know, the pundits out there have their guess. Did that help? Did that hurt Mike in the election? But for me personally, I was fairly happy that after he made the announcement, it wasn't a campaign issue. It wasn't discussed, and people may have had personal thoughts that they conveyed in the voting booth. But for the most part, the campaign was about three candidates, different position. Did that surprise you? And in terms of having somebody as such a public figure in Maine coming out as saying, hey, I'm a gay man, what does that mean for the community? And were you surprised by how it was handled during the campaign and the election?
I was really proud of him for coming out. And I think that it is a great message to young people to say, you know, he's from Millinocket. He's right. from rural Maine. And to be able to come out and for young people to see that there's this person that, look, this is a this is our U.S. congressman. And he came out and the sky didn't fall. And, you know, the world didn't collapse. And he's actually running to be the governor of Maine. And so I think it was really fantastic. It was brave of him to do. And it wasn't an issue in his campaign because it shouldn't be.
Right.
You know, whether someone's straight or gay or, you know, your sexual orientation isn't and shouldn't be factored into, you know, any other part of running for office.
I agree. Well, I'd love to have you come back sometime. We've run out of time, but there's so much to talk about. And as these issues come up, and you mentioned the legislative issue in terms of religious freedom, please let me know when and if it does make it to the floor up at the State House.
Thank you.
I would love to, you know, I'm for personal freedom for everyone and human rights. And I certainly support the work that you're doing. And it was great meeting you today having you in the studio.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Great. That was Elise Johansson, Executive Director of Quality Maine. You can find out more information at qualitymaine.org. And they're also on Facebook and they're active here in Maine looking to protect and promote and create policy that provides dignity and respect to everyone in Maine, regardless of gender orientation and any other anything. I think, you know, Equality Maine, it says it right there, equality. Let's just all be equal, and these are issues we're focusing on. So you're listening to Time Smart Talk with Steve-O, News Talk WLOB, 1310 a.m. We'll be back.